about prayer. So starting in verse 1 down through verse 5 of 1 Timothy 2, and then we'll jump to verse 8 as well. So 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So pray everywhere. That'll be our title tonight. I put a subtitle on my notes, Changing the World on Our Knees. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word and just how powerful, how life-changing it is that we hold the truth in our hands. And we can't praise you enough for that. And pray that tonight as we talk about prayer, that we would not only learn, but Lord, we would learn down in our souls to the point that we would make the changes we need to make as the Holy Spirit speaks. So guide us and meet with us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So because we are in a spiritual war, which is where he finished last week, remember he talked about this battle and that we're to fight. Right, he talked about a warfare there in verse 18 of Timothy, 1 Timothy 1. Because we're in a battle, because some Christians fall away, as we saw in verse 20, some Christians go to shipwreck, as we saw last week. Therefore, what do we need to do? We need to pray. Amen? We need to pray. You know, the church, when it first began, it was threatened by organized religion, right? The Jews, primarily the Pharisees. And what did they do? They prayed. And the word spread. In Acts chapter 12, the church's main spokesman, you probably heard of him, his name was Peter, ended up in prison. What did the church do? They prayed. They didn't go to the authorities. They didn't hold a protest. They just prayed. And God answered their prayers. Because we're in a spiritual war, he says, I exhort therefore that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So supplications, that's talking about the definite needs of others and blessings upon others. You know, Ephesians 5:18 says we're to have supplication for all saints. So we're supplicating on behalf of others as a priest of God. Intercessions, again, requests on behalf of others, primarily the unsaved, praying for their salvation, which is spiritually life and death. So these intercessions and giving of thanks. We talked about this already. How important it is that thanksgiving be a vital part of our prayer life. When we finished up in Colossians, remember, chapter 4. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. And we're to give thanks for all things. And so we're to spend time thanking the Lord, interceding on behalf of others, supplicating for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and, of course, praying for our own needs as well. But if you go to 1 Peter 2, I'll just remind you tonight that we are priests, not in the Catholic sense and not in the Old Testament sense, but in the New Testament sense. We are priests in that when we pray, we are beseeching the throne of the Creator on behalf of someone else. So that doesn't mean that others are supposed to come to us and confess to us, like in the Catholic model. But it does mean that we can avail ourselves of this privilege of praying for others. And by doing so, we are again beseeching the throne of Almighty God on behalf of someone else. 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says, oops, that's 2 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Down in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in verse 5, we're a holy priesthood, and in verse 9, we are a royal priesthood. But the point is, that gives us the responsibility to supplicate and intercede on behalf of others, which is what he says back in our passage. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for who? All men. Amen? All men. You mean we're supposed to pray for our enemies too? Well, that would be included in all men, wouldn't it? Matthew 5:44, I love your enemies. Bless them which curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. There's that word prayer. Pray for them, for those who use you and persecute you. So we're to be interceding, supplicating, giving of thanks, praying for all men. But then just to make it clear, in verse 2, he says, for kings and for all that are in authority. How often do we pray for our boss? He's in authority over us, right? How often do kids pray for their teacher who's in authority over them? How often do we pray for our elected government officials, which would be the equivalent of Old Testament kings? I really believe that if every Christian in New Zealand got a hold of just that one thing and truly prayed for our leaders on a daily basis, that would do more for turning this country upside down for the Lord than any protest you could attend. It's a faith thing, isn't it? It's believing that prayer actually moves a God who is all-powerful. And yes, we have a wicked government. Most countries do. What God says, pray. Pray for kings. Pray for all that are in authority. Go to Romans 13 and we'll see it again. Verse 7. Pray for them. Believe that your prayers are being heard. Believe that God moves in answer to prayer. Otherwise, why would he tell us to pray? Not just for the spiritual exercise. It's because we're to believe that when we do pray, all things whatsoever you shall ask for, believing, Matthew 21:22, you shall receive. It's a faith thing, isn't it? But Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so just to make it easy for us, he says, I want you to pray for all men. Let me just make sure you get this. Also for kings and for all that are in authority. Pray. Pray. So then he takes the time here in these next few verses to give us some of the amazing benefits, spiritual benefits in our Christian lives of praying for all men. Now, we talked about this when we were in Philippians 4, remember? We looked at the spiritual benefits of prayer, which in that passage were moderation, no anxiety, gratitude, peace, our thought life. But here he gives us some other benefits. Verse 2, quiet and peaceable life. God is now connecting a quiet, peaceable life to praying for all men. Isn't that interesting? He says in Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It's a lot easier to live peaceably with someone that you're praying for, isn't it? Than for someone that you're not praying for. So a quiet and peaceable life. Look at another benefit. Verse 2. Godliness and honesty. Praying for all men, praying for others, keeps us honest, keeps us godly. And godliness and honesty are very important for Christians. Because God is watching. Notice verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Isn't that our ultimate goal, is to please our Savior? Well, this says this is something in His sight that is good and acceptable. Now, we'll talk about these next two verses more next week. But if we'll pray for all men, that would include the unsaved. Why should we do that? Well, because we don't want them to go to hell. And that's what the Bible says in verse 4. Who will, that's God, have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? God wants everyone saved. That's why at the end of the Bible He says, for whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, right? Revelation 22:17. The Lord is not slack, 2 Peter 3:9, concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but what? That all. That's God's will, that all should come to repentance. Then He reminds us there's only but one God, and that is the God of the Bible, and there's only one mediator. Now, this is interesting. This one verse shuts down the cults, doesn't it? Because all the cults have another mediator, and that is their church. Their church is in between them and God. And the church sets the rules, and the church helps control whether or not they get the kingdom or get heaven or whatever. God says, no, there's only one mediator. That it's not Mary, it's not other saints, it's not a priest, it's not the church, it's not a man-made organization. It's Jesus Christ. Amen? That's it. So people that are praying to anything or anyone else other than Jesus Christ, they are wasting their time. Because He is the only mediator. Hallelujah. And again, we'll talk more about this next week. It's only through the blood of Jesus. Look at Hebrews 10:19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. If you're not praying through the blood, then God doesn't hear it. You've heard this before. But having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. If you're not saved, you don't have the blood of Jesus applied to your account, so you can't enter into the holiest. So, who are we to pray for? All men. And what does it say in verse 8 about where we're to pray? We already know how often we're to pray without ceasing, right? And we're told who to pray for, all men. Now we're told in verse 8 where to pray. Isn't that good? Everywhere. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Luke 18:1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. David said, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice, in Psalm 55:17. And then He gives us more benefits of prayer. So we've already seen two benefits, a quiet and peaceable life, verse 2, godliness and honesty, verse 2. Here's a third benefit, verse 8, prayer helps keep us holy. Look, it says, lifting up holy hands. Look at James 4:8. Why would that be? Because the more time we spend in prayer, the more time that gives the Holy Spirit to show us, like we just sang in number 471, the sin that needs cleansed out of our lives. Amen? And the more time that we spend taking care of those sins, the more holy we become and the closer to God we are. It says, draw nigh to God, James 4:8, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So prayer helps keep us holy. Isn't that beautiful? What else does it do? Verse 8, without wrath. Prayer helps keep the anger and the bitterness and the unforgiveness away from our Christian walk. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. In Ephesians 4:26 and Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And of course, Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive. So look what prayer does. It helps keep us holy. It helps keep wrath out of our lives and bitterness and unforgiveness. And lastly, verse 8, doubt. Prayer builds our faith. The more we pray, the more we get answers. Amen? And the more we get answers, the more our faith grows. That's how it works, because let's face it, we're weak, we're sinners, but there's nothing like getting your prayer answered, especially when you haven't told anybody what it is. And he answers it, and you know he answered your prayer because nobody else was praying that prayer. Praise God. What does that do? It builds your faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So again, we'll talk more about verses 4, 5, and 6 next week. God's will for all to be saved. But tonight, God's encouraging us to pray. Number one, for all men. There in verse 1, including kings and all that are in authority. And number 2, we're to pray everywhere. And then he gives us the benefits of prayer, some of the benefits. Quiet and peaceable life, godliness and honesty, holiness, wrath removed out of our lives, and without doubting as well. Our faith grows. We lose the doubt. Hallelujah. The Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There in James chapter 1. So God says, let's pray everywhere for all men. So we got our work cut out for us. And he says, if you'll do that, I will bless you. I'll bless your Christian walk. Pray everywhere. That's how to change this world, is on our knees. Amen. Let's pray. How we love you, Lord. How we praise your name. And how we just can't thank you enough that we are allowed to pray. And I pray, Lord, that we would avail ourselves of that every day, every opportunity, that we would beseech you on behalf of others. And Lord, we know that you will only bless us more if we'll do this, exercise our priestly office, and lift up others to you. Watch you bless them. We know you'll bless us in our spiritual walk. And we pray that we'll catch this great truth and apply it in our Christian lives. Thank you. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.